The following message was recorded live from Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta, Canada.
We're discussing throughout the month how it is that we get direction and guidance from God in our day-to-day lives. How does He speak? How do we listen well? How do we prepare to listen? What do we need to do to receive His word properly? And so we've looked at a little bit of that, and then we kind of talked about this big frame that you'll see over there about how God's word really communicates some specific things about what God wants us to know about. One is He wants to know His purposes. He wants us to know Him personally and what His character's like. He wants us to know how to love Him and relate to Him, and He wants us to know how to love each other. And that's really the heartbeat of God throughout all of Scriptures, and that's kind of what's been revealed to us. So we hear Him by getting to know that and reading the Scripture. We've been doing that this summer, going through the Bible. And Pastor Dan and Pastor Denise were here last week. If you missed it, check it out online. It's a great time where they talked about God's big story and what God's been involved with and since creation until today, and different acts of the story. And we discovered that we're part of God's story, actually. We're living part of the story. The story is not like history and it's over. It's active, it's today, and we're living in a generation that actually has a role in living out God's story. And there's another act that is yet to come. And so we're kind of trying to figure out, how do we hear Him and how do we follow Him in the midst of His story so that we can play a role, a significant role in what He's trying to do in and maybe even through us. And so that's what this is all about, uncharted. Although God knows where He's going, He's seen the future. For us, often it looks like, you know, I don't know what's coming up around the corner kind of stuff. And it can be kind of scary and sometimes even frustrating to not know what's coming. I was actually driving back from BC this week, and I've driven that road lots, the number one highway. It's a crazy, crazy area in holiday season with trailers and construction all the time. And I was with my son and my wife, and we came around. We got ahead of the rest of the pack. I don't know how. I'm pretty sure I must have been doing the speed limit. But anyways, somehow we got finally to the front. And that's a lot of work. I don't know if you've had to do that. To get to the front where you finally feel like, oh, you know, I'm free. I'm out of here. And as soon as we got to the front, came around the corner towards Rogers Pass, and there was a lady standing there with just her, nothing else around, a lady in a nice fluorescent vest and a sign that says stop. And you're like, I probably should listen. She's wearing a vest. I mean, so no truck, like nothing there, just no trucks, nothing. And so it's like you pull up and you stop and just looked at her like, this is what I'm supposed to do, right? And we sat there, and eventually other people came behind us and more people where I couldn't see the end of the line anymore, and no traffic was coming the other way. But we couldn't see anything around the corner. It was around a mountain corner. Only this lady with a stop sign. What about power? Talk about that. I mean, amazing. And we were there for what seemed eternity for my personality. It was probably about 10, 15 minutes. And my son finally points out the obvious from the back seat. He says, well, this is just stupid. I said, you may be right. He's like, I don't know why we're here. And I'm like, I don't know why we're here either. I don't know why we stopped. Why did we stop? I can't see anything. There's no problem. Let's just go. And I'm like, you know, she's got a stop sign and a vest. Like, pretty much we got to listen, I think. And so we sat there for a long time. And I had a good parenting moment. I did. It's very rare. But I had one. And I said to him, you know what? This is kind of, you know, like we don't always know what's coming around the corner. And sometimes we just got to trust. And so sometimes when we talk about God's guidance, you know, what we're hoping to get out of Him for information is like these big why questions that we have, right? We want to know why or how things are going to work or what's going to happen next, what's around the corner, you know? How does this all pan out? What's the problem? What's going to work out? And He just doesn't answer that sometimes. And it can be really, really frustrating. And He doesn't actually often reveal those things because really, He just wants us to trust. And so sometimes then we say, you know what, God doesn't speak, and I don't hear from him. I'm not getting what I want. I want this information. I don't get any information. And so we kind of toss out this whole talking to God thing, this whole relational thing. We actually did get around the corner eventually when she turned it to slow. And sure enough, they've been working really hard, and they had moved a huge avalanche that kind of crashed all around. I was like, look, now we know that lady was there for a reason. We would have hit those rocks, you know, she saved us. But that's kind of how it is for God. And sometimes, you know, we'll just never know in this life. He just isn't going to give us that information. Sometimes we just need to trust. And that's not good enough, I know, for some of us. And I've gone through those seasons. And the book of Job is great for that. You want to go home and read the book of Job, where all this stuff happened to Job, and God never answers why. Job does pretty good in the beginning. He gets frustrated in the middle and starts demanding why. And God just doesn't ever actually answer that question for him. He teaches him something instead. Sometimes it's like that. So as we get into this today, we're going to talk about how he speaks through his Holy Spirit. And then he sends us a guide. He's a relational God. That's why there's two chairs here. This whole series is to acknowledge that this is about a real relationship with a living God, a speaking God, that he speaks. And his desire is that we talk, that we spend time together, that I share my heart and he shares his heart. That's actually his desire. A lot of us don't experience God that way. We just kind of go through the motions, or we have a religion, or we say, I have a belief set, or a system of values, or I have some instructions in the Word, and we just kind of live with a framework of what we know about God. But God wants us to actually know him, his heart, and he wants to have conversation. And he's providing that information, that conversation with him through his Holy Spirit. So we want to look at that today and see if we can open up how does God speak to us through his Holy Spirit. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you do speak. I thank you, you know me. I thank you know everybody here. And when they walk in these doors, you're not a stranger. You know what's going on in their life. You know the questions they have. You know what they want to hear. You know the circumstances in which they come from. You know the burdens that they carry. You know that the mess they're in. I thank you that you know. Heavenly Father, would you teach us how to get to know you today? In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Now, I'm going to propose something today. My proposition is that sometimes I think we don't hear God through his Spirit because we're just not comfortable or satisfied with the kinds of conversations he likes. And so we're not talking about, you know, kind of this weird sense of I go around all day long and I don't move and I don't do anything without hearing specifically what God wants. So I didn't ask him this, you know, I didn't ask him what to wear today or what I should eat for breakfast. My wife tells me all that. So I don't need him for that. I have this different relationship with him, and I've learned. And so I want to share with you from my learning, and I want to share from actually a position of not, sometimes I didn't say this in the first service, but it's really important to understand this. It's not because I'm a pastor. I'm no different than you. I have same struggles and everything. And so it's not that I hear God, or Dan, sometimes he heard God in the morning, or he'll say, I heard God say this morning, I share this. It's not because we're different or special or we have a different, unique relationship at all, actually. What some of us have learned over time, and I fail at this, is to talk about the right stuff with them. Have you ever had one of those people that you just can't get to talk, like a teenager, or, you know, like you're trying to get information out of them, but you get on the right topic and they just won't shut up, right? It's kind of like that, not in a bad way, but when you ask God the right question sometimes, or you're in the right posture of listening, I think he speaks quickly and to the point. And I want all of you to know that you can have a relationship today like that, where he's speaking into your life. The biggest question really is, Are you willing to talk about what he wants to talk about? And so I want to open that box. I want to kind of show you a few topics that I've learned that he's passionate about. We won't be surprised that they line up very much with what he's already talked about in Scripture. So in Scripture, he's talked about his character. He told us all about who he is and what he's like so we get to know him, right? He's told us all about his purposes, his plan, what he's doing, what he's about, where he's going. And so last week, Pastor Dan and Denise did that whole thing about trying to figure out where his story is, because he wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know. Then he wants us to know how to relate to him. So most of the Bible, actually, in all the Old Testament, is how do we relate to this God? How do we love him? And then how do we relate to each other? How do we love one another? So these are the main topics, if that's what his Scripture is all about, then those are the very similar things that he loves to talk to us about. The bad news today is he probably doesn't, this is personal, this is Sean theology. Whenever I say that, you can just throw it out and that's fine, doesn't mean anything, okay? But I sometimes think we get caught up on things that he just doesn't care about. Like, should I move to Edmonton or Calgary? Now, if you're Pastor Dan or Jordan, you might care about that. I don't think he often cares. What he wants to know is, when you get there, are you going to love me, love others? Are you going to be about what I'm about? And are you going to display my character to people around me? I think that's more it. I know we want more of the directional stuff, but I think he actually cares more about that. So we're going to talk about some of these topics and look at what does he care about. And so the topics fit within that. So the first one is my worship. God seems to me want to talk about my worship. What does this mean? This does not mean he talks about how out of tune I am when I come and I sing here. Or he doesn't talk about my instrument abilities. That's not what worship is about. What he wants to talk to me about is, what do I glorify? What do I see in life that has worth? Where do I receive my worth from? And to whom or to what do I give worth to? God cares about that. That's why one of the first 10 commandments is you should not worship any other God but me. He cares how and who and what I worship. And so when I sit down with him, when I sit down in his presence, which is always with me, I can be driving in my car, doing whatever, and I ask him the right questions, he just gets excited about answering those types of things. So I'm going to give you some of those. But first I want to set up why this is so important. Romans chapter 11, right at the end of the chapter, before we move into Romans chapter 12, which starts with a very famous verse, we've got to back up a verse. So Romans chapter 11, verse 36 says this: for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. Which means this: I exist today for his glory. I do not exist to make a career. I do not exist just to be a good parent or do a good job or to live a good moral life. I don't exist just to make the world a better place. These are all good things, and the world talks about all of them. But primarily what he says is that my existence is that of worship. When I worship, I give him glory. The glory that is due him as God. And so, I have to recognize that. In light of that, then Romans 12 starts with this famous verse a lot of you would know. And so, whenever you say, and so, back up a verse or two at least, or a chapter, is what I did. And so, since you're created for God's glory, I plead with you then to give your bodies to God. Because of all he has done for you, let them, your bodies, your life, your breath, let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Give yourself, your breath, your life, your everything, your worship, and lay it down. This is the kind he will find acceptable, a sacrifice of my life. This is truly the way to worship him. And so if you can't sing a note, it's good news today. Your best worship has nothing to do with singing. It has to do with everything you are to give it over to Him. Everything, your past, your present, and your future. He loves to talk about that. Well, what are some questions? I want to give you practical questions, because today, honestly, my goal, and I don't think I'm far reaching here, because when I've read throughout the Bible and I've prepared to know what God wants, I believe 100% He wants to speak to every one of you today. I don't want anyone walking away going, I don't think I've ever heard from God. So I want to give you specific questions that you could ask God. Now, they're not genius questions, because I honestly just made them up. So they're horrible grammar and all that kind of stuff. Just ignore all that. It's the heart of the questions. Questions that you can be asking, that if you spend time with Him, even as you would drive home or quiet time and open the Word, you ask these questions, He will answer you. All right? So I want you to be assured of that today. Here we go. So the Holy Spirit desires to talk to me about my worship and your worship. This is all of our worship. So I need to learn to ask questions like this. What area in my life do I need to surrender to you? Ever ask that question? I guarantee if you ask that question with a sincere heart, desiring to know God's heart, He'll answer that question. Never fails. God, what in my life am I worrying about? What am I troubled about? What am I doing that I just need to give to you? What do I need to surrender to you? You know what? He gets so excited when you speak His language. His language is about worship. He would love to answer that. God, where do I need to stop playing God? And where do I just need to trust you? Where in my life, God, am I trying to be you? And I just need to trust you. I don't need to control it anymore. I don't need to fix it. I don't need to change the relationship. I don't need to control that person. I don't need to control the outcome anymore. Which area, God, is in my finances, my relationships? Is it my, what do I need to simply let you be God in? Ask that question. He would love to share with you about that. Well, I want to give you another area in which He loves to speak to people about. The next one is our relationships. Now, it makes sense. Loving God is about our worship. He speaks a lot in Scripture. He doesn't speak a lot to you about that. The next one is loving others. And therefore, guess what? He cares about your relationships. He wants to talk about them. He is dying to talk about them. He can't wait for you to sit down and talk about your relationships. They matter to Him. The people you live with, the people you relate to, your neighbors, your coworkers. He wants to talk to you about those things. How do I know that? It's all throughout Scripture. That's His heartbeat, is that others would know, that you would love others. And I experience that as well. What you have to understand is that God speaks uniquely into your relationships. So what we're talking about today is, how do I hear God specifically for me? Not for everybody. Sometimes people say, I heard God say this, therefore everybody now needs to do that. Churches are kind of famous for that. Not doing that today. When God speaks to you, He's speaking to you in the context of your actual relationships, your actual marriage, your actual kids, your actual wife. He'll speak to me. This is what your wife needs. So I don't walk away and say, guys, I got to tell everyone I know, this is what your wife needs, guys. God said, no, Sean, this is what your wife needs. She needs more of you here. You need to love her better this way. God is that intimate. He knows your circumstances. He wants to talk to you about your relationships. He cares how you're loving others. He doesn't speak in a vacuum. He doesn't speak in the hypothetical. If your marriage was perfect, Sean, this is what I would say. No. He speaks to me in the context of my kids' lives, my covenant relationships, my coworkers, my actual neighbors. So if He has a desire to talk to me about my relationships, then maybe I should ask Him some good questions. Maybe some questions like this. Who in my life do I need to forgive? Some of you already aren't mad. You know, it's like, I don't want to ask that question. Yeah, well, I'm just trying to prove that God wants to speak to you. Right? I'm not saying He wants to speak about what you want Him to speak to you about. I'm saying He does want to speak to you. And every time I've ever asked this question, I hear from him. This grudge you're holding. And you know what? This is where I argue with him. I don't know if you're like me. This is where we have some tiffs. I'm like, no, that's not a problem. That was a long time. That's 30 years ago. Why would I have to forgive? And he just says, you need to forgive them. Or maybe it's recent. But he loves to do it. Why? Because he's all about relationships. It's important. All throughout Scripture, and Jesus said over and over again, your relationship with others is an indicator of my relationship with you. You cannot say you have a great relationship with me and a bad relationship with others. You can't do it. So if you're going to love me, you've got to love others. And if I want my relationship with you to work out, here's the people you need to deal with. So he'll speak to you on these things. Who do I need to reconcile with? In other words, who are you avoiding? Who do you hope doesn't show up to church today? What neighbor are you hoping you don't bump into on the sidewalk? What coworker are you hoping gets transferred? What relative are you hoping can't make it for Christmas? These are the questions. They'll pop in your head. They're already happening. Write them down. He's been like waiting for this conversation for a very long time. And honestly, if you're hearing, you need to forget. Now it's a matter of obedience. He wants to talk about your relationships. Who do I need to serve? How do I need to serve? Is there someone that I need to bless? Someone, maybe God will put in your mind, he does this, a neighbor that's lonely, someone that's depressed, someone who's grieving, someone who's lost a job. God, who do you want me to bless? Who do you want me to serve? Who do you want me to? He wants to engage in that. Oh, there's all kinds of people he wants to send his people to bless through. Who in my life is drawing me away from you? God, is there people in my life that are taking my relationship out with you? You just put them in your head. This is your own slippery slope with this person, or this person actually completely cuts off my relationship with you. This relationship needs to end. I dare you to pray these. These are questions. These are questions that he's eager to engage. Because he cares about you, he wants to protect you, he wants to guide you. It's a great thing. So what's another area, another box, another conversation that he wants to talk about? He wants to talk about your worship, he wants to talk about your relationships. He wants to talk about your purpose. He wants to talk, why do you think you're here? And that's a conversation a lot of people want to talk about too, right? I mean, it's like, a lot of people, well, I want to talk about why I'm here. He wants to talk about it in the context of what he's about. Sometimes when we want to talk about our purpose, we want to talk about it in the context of what I want, what I need, what I'm hoping for, my retirement plans, my portfolio plans, my marriage plans, my purpose, the stuff that I'm supposed to do. And he's like, yeah, I want to talk about my purpose with you and how you relate to what I'm about and what I'm trying to do. Because your purpose fits within my purpose. You're part of my story. That's why you're here today. You're here today because you have a purpose. You're not an accident. You're not a fluke. You're here because God is creating and writing a story, and he has a future for this story, and you play an important role in it. So it's important for us to engage with him. God, what's my purpose? How do I fit within that? What you have to understand about the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was poured out on people. It was poured on people for a specific task, for a specific time. And so God would come and he would say, I place my spirit on King David, and he placed it on because David had a task to do, a task to represent him, a task to move his people forward, a task. And so once he completed and his time was up, God's spirit would leave him. He had finished his role, he'd finished his time. What's amazing is that we live in a different act. And so they were talking about the acts of the Bible last week. We're living in a new act, an act in which God has chose to pour out his spirit on all believers. Why do you think that is? So we could be really smart and make some good investments. So we could really know how to parent well. Or do you think it's because he has a task for us? Because he has a purpose for us. Because he's trying to accomplish something so great that he said, what I'm going to do is so unique at your time in history. So what Scripture talks about, a unique thing, a new thing I'm doing. I'm going to breathe my spirit on my people so that they can go and be what? My ambassadors, my witnesses, that they could tell people who I am to the ends of the earth. And so in Acts is the beginning of the church. And Jesus told them not to go try to do anything until the Spirit came. And when the Spirit came, they were empowered and released to go about God's work. And Acts, the book of Acts, is a complete story of the difference that the Spirit makes in the individual's life who follows Jesus Christ. They turned from cowards into courageous people. They went from hiding behind locked doors to willing to be flogged and killed on stakes. The Spirit radically transformed their purpose from being afraid, from hiding, from just doing everyday life to complete and utter abandonment for his kingdom. The Spirit resides in you today. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit is there to help you fulfill God's purposes, he's given you unique gifts, unique abilities, uniquenesses in Scripture, it says, for you to help accomplish it. Not you being superhero, but us together, we form the body of Christ that we might be about his work. It's an amazing thing that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And it's for your purpose. So, what does the Holy Spirit want to talk to me about when it comes to the purpose? Questions like, I need to ask him, or stuff like this. Who do I need to pray for? The Holy Spirit often will reveal someone that's in need or someone that you need to just uphold. And I know several people that do this on a regular basis, and they'll just say, God, who is it that needs you right now that I can pray for, that I can uphold before your throne? And God will put names into their head. I've been thankfully the recipient of some of those. When people will just say, God told me to pray for you last night. I'm like, oh, thank you. That was awesome. I so needed that last night. God wants to engage that. We're talking all the time here at Crossroads. What are three people that you should be praying for? Well, the Holy Spirit loves to have that conversation. Absolutely. Here's three names. Here's four names. Five names of people you should start praying for. Who do I need to share Jesus with? Why do I need to share Jesus? Isn't that pastor job? No. The Holy Spirit's been poured out on everyone so that now everyone is the priest of believers. Every one of you is actually full-time called to be a witness for Jesus. So he said he'll tell you what to say. So the question is, who do I need to share with? Who at work, who in my neighborhood, who in my family needs to hear? You ask those questions. God gets so excited to tell you. He's going to speak. The names will come. He's not going to withhold that stuff. Why? Because it's everything he's about. He's just waiting for people to ask the right questions. What have you given me that I can serve you with? I love that question. Your ministry comes out of who God has made you to be. The question is, what do you have in your hands? Not what do you have to go get. God, what's in my hands? What's in my brains? What's in my ability? What do I have? I've given you this gift. I've given you the smarts. I've given you this experience. I've given you this past. I've given you your house. I've given you your car. Here's the stuff I've given you. He wants to share with you what they're for. We get confused sometimes. We think, oh, he must just really like me. It's all for me. Wow, that's great. Give me more. More. You know, it's like, oh, wow, God loves me so much. Look at all I have. And we can get away with that here in this part of the world. But I guarantee from God's perspective, that doesn't fly. What I've put in your hands is for my purposes. Yeah, even your brain and your intellect and everything. So God, what have you given me that I can serve you with? And the last one that he loves to speak to me about is my character. Why? Because he wants my character to look like his character. And so he loves to talk about it with me. Maybe you got great character, but this is like one that's like just constant. He wants to talk about my character a lot. He wants me. Why? He wants me to represent him. That seems really hard, doesn't it? He wants, when people look at me, them to see him. That seems overwhelming. I'm going to make it not so overwhelming for you. Galatians 5, verse 24 and 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. In other words, they're dealt with. Okay? They're dealt with. So he's not talking to me about my character because if it doesn't get resolved, I'm in big trouble. He's dealt with it. It's crucified at the cross. It's been paid for. So, now if we're living now by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's in me, I'm in a relationship with him. Now if I'm living by him, that I'm still alive. I'm here, thankfully. I didn't pay for my own sins or I'd be dead. I'm alive. I'm here because of the Holy Spirit living in me. So now we follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In other words, I just ask questions. And thankfully, God is a gracious God in my experience. He only reveals to me kind of layers like an onion at a time of things I need to work on so I can reveal him better to the world around me. So my kids can see him. So my wife can see him in me. So my neighbors, my coworkers, so people can see him in me. Thankfully, he doesn't expose it all. He just does layers. Sean, this is what I'm working on right now in you. And so I need to ask good questions again. And so the questions, the Holy Spirit will desire to talk to me about my character. So I need to ask questions, right? Questions like, what is it in my life that isn't pleasing to you? It's a great question. If I want to know what God's trying to work on in my life, something that he's trying to get out of my life, I ask this question. It's never failed. I'll hear him. In my head, I'll hear, this isn't pleasing to me. I don't like that. It's not making you represent me very well. It's taking you out. It's destroying you. It's hurting you. It's hurting your family. It's hurting your testimony. So I ask those questions. What prevents me from hearing you more? Maybe you haven't heard him for a long time. Great question. Sit down and say, God, what's preventing me from hearing you? He loves to answer that. Why? Because he's the one that wants to speak to you more than you want to listen. He'll show you areas in your life and say, this is just blocking my voice. It's cluttered, or it's horrible. What in my life doesn't display Jesus to others? Or what is the wise thing that you want me to do? What is it that I should be doing that's wise? Why am I asking that question? I'm asking that question because I don't need to get specific information from God on whether to do something right or wrong. Okay, God, should I steal the car or not? He doesn't have to say anything. So if you're waiting for answers on morality or stuff he's already spoken about in Scripture in the other frame, you're wasting your time. But he wants us to ask questions about wisdom. So when we're seeking guidance from God, it's not about whether I should be good or evil. It's about, I want to live a life pleasing to you. I want to glorify you. I want to love you. I want to love others. I want to make your name great. What should I do? What's the wise thing to do in this situation? And he will speak that. He speaks wisdom. That's his language. He loves to talk about wisdom. So you can engage him in that way. This, what we're talking about today, is how God uniquely leads me and you. And so this is my frame. This isn't your frame. This is kind of represents what God speaks to me about. And so when I ask him these questions, he shares with me things about my character. He shares flaws in my character and things he's working on. Like, I'm not particularly very patient. And so that's one of the things he's working on. So he loves to put a lady with a stop sign in the middle of the highway. He just laughs. Loves it. He loves it. Maybe you're the most patient person in the world. So that's not your issue. So you don't hear a whole lot about patience. I do. This is my frame. He speaks to me about patience. There's lots of character things he speaks to me. I'm not telling you about, but it's my frame. What I don't do is I don't run around you and say, hey, you know what? God really wants you to be more patient. That's not. No, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in the context of my character. He knows me, and therefore he knows what I need. So this is my frame, not your frame. He speaks to me in the context of my relationships. He knows my wife. He knows my kids. He knows my neighbors. He knows everyone around me. He knows. So he speaks in the context of that. He doesn't speak in a hypothetical situation. And so in my marriage, there's things he's spoken to me about, things that I need to do, things that I need to be loving in, things that I need to act, that I can't say to you, oh yeah, all husbands now need to do this, because I heard him. Well, I heard him, but that's because it's my relationship. And he knows my wife and what she needs. He knows my neighbors and what I need to do. And so it's unique. In all of these things, he sets up things. And for what I give glory to and how I worship him, he cares about that. So he speaks to me about what I give glory to. He knows my flaws. He knows I like shiny things like cars. So he speaks to me about that stuff. Sean, you care too much. You're giving glory to something that I don't glorify. Some of you like your bank accounts too much. And so he'll speak to you about that. Some of you like your looks too much. Some of you like your face cream too much. I don't know. But you worship or glorify something, and he wants to talk to you about that. You don't need to run around and say, okay, the answer is, I heard God, no one can wear makeup anymore because it's too vain. That's silly. I'm using an example. I didn't use it before. Maybe that's your thing. I hope not. But maybe it is. That's what uniqueness is. How God speaks to us. It's in the realities of our life. It's exciting. It's thrilling to know that God cares that much. And so for me, I know I can't have things in my life financially that are worth a whole lot. I honestly, they become too glorified for me. I try not to drive really, I can't afford it anyways, but I, you know, there's cars drive around and I long for them and God works on me that. But I can't go around and say, it is wrong for anybody to drive that really nice, shiny thing. Wrong. I say, for me, actually, that can be wrong. Why? Because God knows me and my character. He knows what I like to worship. He knows my relationships. And so he speaks. And he helps me. And so it's unique. What we all have in common is this, though. This is what we have in common. God speaks uniquely into all of our relationships. He speaks about our character. He speaks about what we want to glorify. He speaks about our purposes. But here's the thing. In every situation, God speaks in context of his word. God will not violate his character for you. God will not violate his purposes for you. God will not say, oh, it's okay not to forgive that person. Because his heart is to love people in reconciliation. He won't say to you, it's okay to worship that thing over there you have. Because it violates what he said in his word. And so whenever I'm hearing God, whenever I'm interacting with him in a personal way, what you have to understand is it always is within the frame of who he is, what he's all revealed, and it's in the framework of Scripture. Therefore, Romans 12:2 says at the end of that passage is this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So many of us get so caught up in trying to figure out his will. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What he's saying is, you got to begin by the transforming of your mind. In other words, renewing your mind, thinking differently. We don't think like God. So I need to get to know him. Scripture gives us that framework. I need to know his voice so I can hear him properly. I need to know his purpose. If you don't know what God's all about, you got to figure that out. If you don't know his character, you got to read about it. within that framework, he says, when you are renewed and you understand and you submit to that, and you lay down as a living sacrifice, and you're willing that, you will then know what your frame is in this middle. You'll get it. But as long as you're trying to create your own frame outside of what God's about and what God cares about, it'll always be confusing. That's why the whole world is confused and upset and frustrated and don't know what my life's about, and I don't know why this doesn't make sense. And your neighbors, your coworkers, the people you love, they're frustrated with life because they're trying to create their own frame and it doesn't make sense. Because it doesn't make sense when it's outside the context of what God's already doing and all about. And so even though God speaks to me uniquely, he does so through Scripture, but also in the context of what we've already been talking about. He will not violate his character. God honors covenants. So I used to ask, you know, just for me and my wife, we used to joke about it. You know, she'd ask that question that guys really get scared of when you're married after a few years. Like, do you think you married the right person? It's usually after a big fight. And so you're like, oh. But I heard God. You know what he said? The minute that you said, I do, she's the right person. Because God doesn't communicate to me in a vacuum. He knows me and he knows my covenants. He knows my relationships. He honors those. And it's his character as a covenant keeper. So I can look at her and say, absolutely, you are the right person. There's no doubt in my mind, because God would never, ever go outside of that and speak to me about a different, leaving that covenant relationship. How could he? It's part of who he is. So whenever I hear God, I submit to him. My worship, my purpose, my character, my relationships fit within it. I live in the Word by the Spirit. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. And we just, we thank you that you know us. You love us. You accept us. But you have so much for us. I pray you would teach us to listen. Would you teach us to ask the right questions? That we might glorify you. That we would line up with what you're doing in the world and be a part of something significant. Help us to take the time to ask you good questions and listen well. Amen.